Now, being the fourth Wednesday of the month, we're going to talk to Cindy McLeish, our local MP. How are you, Cindy?
I'm very well, thank you, Alan. Nice to have a little bit of rain.
Yeah, well, we certainly need it, don't we? Up towards where you live, Cindy, what's it like? Because I know parts of hills, well, some of the dams are very low out here, like on that are on farms.
Yeah, I actually think that the dams here are a bit lower than at home. We've got, our grass seems to be a bit longer, and I was over at the Nillumbik area the other day on the weekend, and I thought it was quite dry, you know, around Panton Hill and St Andrews, Hurstbridge. I thought we had, at least our grass was still green and perhaps a little longer than south of the divide. Mm-hmm. So, it rained steadily yesterday at home, but we didn't get much.
No, the trouble is it doesn't amount to a lot. Cindy, anyway, we're here. You want to talk about the Yarra Ranger citizenship.
Well, it's something that we don't ordinarily talk about.
Yep.
And the Yarra Rangers Council, every couple of months, has ceremonies for the new citizens.
Yep.
And the mayor is the one who has the power given to them from the federal government to conduct the citizenship ceremonies. And, they have quite a few. There's probably 30 or so, maybe 35 that took out citizenship at Lilydale on Monday night. Yep. And what I find really quite fascinating, it's a bit of a different area, is when I look at the new citizens at Mansfield, there's not very many.
Yep.
and Murrindindi's a bit of a mixed bag, and only have, I think there were eight conferees yesterday in Murrindindi. Yep. But Yarra Rangers don't have a particular group or country dominate.
Yep.
Although if you had to say more than others, it'd be English, people from the United Kingdom becoming citizens over here. But you get the real mixed bag, because I think there was you get the Asian countries, you might get Chinese, you might get Myanmar, sometimes you'll get Thai. I think there were English, New Zealand, South Africa. There were Dutch, someone from Costa Rica, Portuguese. So it's a real mixed bag. There's quite a lot of people coming, Burmese people in the outer east at the minute, but not all of them landing in the Yarra Ranges. So, it's really quite an eclectic and diverse group of people that come into this area.
Oh, terrific. Yep. And they bring a lot of cultural things with them as well too, don't they?
Yeah, and at the ceremonies, a lot of people come in their traditional dress, which is terrific. And, a lot of people have already had kids. Say, like, women may have married somebody here and they've got kids who are Aussie-born. There was somebody like that the other night. So they were South African. I think their three kids. Oh, no, was it for that group? There was somebody who'd had three kids who were born in Australia. Husband was from Australia. And, she was taking up citizenship after a considerable period of time. And that's not unusual. Down at Nillumbik, we often get a number of Iranian citizens as well, but not as probably not so many in this area. But it's always really interesting to see. And there are people that have been in the country for not that long compared to people who have been here for 60 years who came out as a kid and who never bothered to get Australian citizenship. So when they get Australian citizenship, they can vote in the state and federal and local elections. They can be called up for jury duties. There's a whole list of things that can happen. But it was something I don't really talk about, because it's really quite good going along and seeing, who's there. And often they don't have family, so they're on their own.
Oh,
but they bring a tribe of people with them to witness it.
Oh, that'd be terrific.
Yeah, I was talking to one family. I think they were the South African family. And they had seven guests, but they were all from, community or work people that they've lived next door to. So it's really lovely, actually, to see how the community embraces the new citizens in the area. And you go like to Whittlesea, for example, and they'd have a huge amount of Indians. Dandenong might get a lot of Indians and Sri Lankans.
Yep.
But out here it's really quite a mixed bag, a bit of everything.
Ah, that's good. Now, you want to talk about somewhere you've been this morning.
Well, speaking of new citizens, just over 50 years ago, I think it was last year, the first intake of Vietnamese refugees occurred. Remembering a lot of them fled in pretty horrible circumstances following the fall of Saigon. And not long after that, seven years after that, there was an organisation who started by two women called the Australian Vietnamese Women's Association. And they now have extraordinary presence about what they do for the local community. You know, they're in aged care, they're in childcare, they're in training organisations. You know, really, they've just gone from strength to strength, this group. And they have their AGM, so it's a bit of talking, a bit of Vietnamese singing or dancing, a bit more talking. And but they get – it was an enormous crowd in at Kensington. But, do you know, like now they have $52 million in income through the work that they do. And this was two women who started it 42 years ago who are still there today. You know, they're not in the main leadership roles, but – they were the ones who started it because they saw a need for their community, for women to get together to talk about what it's like living in a new country, helping each other learn and providing support services. And then, you know, those support services have grown, whether, as I said, training or vocational services. They do play groups. They do meals.
True.
Domestic assistance, they're involved in dementia, the NDIS, so many things. And as I said, you know, they've got an enormous income and a huge number of staff. And the number of staff today that were acknowledged for being there for 10, 20, 15 years.
Gee, that's terrific. Yep.
Yeah, it really is. Mm. And there are a number of these groups, but this is probably one that's been so successful because, you know, they have aged care facilities now. So they run those and so they get an income stream from some of the activities that they do. And as I said, you know, $50 million in revenue is pretty amazing.
Can't knock that. Cindy, I've got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Pure love, baby, it's pure love. Milk and honey and Captain Crunch and you in the morning. It's pure love, 99 and 44, 100% pure love. I wake up with sunshine laid beside me, and bluebirds singing right outside my window. Soft, warm kisses say good morning. Then I get breakfast in bed, you know you make me so happy. It's pure love, baby, it's pure love. Milk and honey and Captain Crunch and you in the morning. Pure love, you're the picture of pure love. 99 and 44, 100% pure love.
talking to Cindy McLeish, and we're talking about the different things that have been going on in the area and things that Cindy's been to. Cindy, you want to talk about the CFA now. I've got to say, you know what I think of CFA. I think they're fantastic. They give up their holidays. They give up, get up 1, 2, 3 in the morning and go off and do it. They still have to go back to work. So I think they're fantastic. But you've been to a couple of things with them too, Cindy.
Oh, look, at the moment, a lot of the annual dinners are happening, and some are in my area, some aren't, obviously, but they're still part of the Yarra Ranges. I know Aaron Violi and Bridget Balance have been to a few as well, but I went to the Healesville CFA's dinner on Saturday night at the Terminus in Healesville, and didn't the Terminus do a great job? But one of the things that came up, they do recognise the number of turnouts the brigade members have, you know, and whether people have done 1,000 or 100, it just keeps adding up. And you see the amount of work that people do voluntarily to protect the communities.
Unbelievable.
And the room was full. And what it was pretty well all brigade members and their partners, whether they be male, female brigade members, they're not fussy.
Yep.
Everybody can, you know, be involved. And one of the things that they talked about that was going really well for them was their retention. So they've been recruiting and retaining. And they were really pleased that the majority of the room was those, you know, with a direct connection. But what also happens is that the local people go and door knock. Not door knock, shop knock, yep. Business knock. And they go and they ask people, can you donate something for our annual dinner? And it might be the chicken shop, for example, might donate so many chickens.
Yep.
You know, big roast chickens. And they'll pair that with a bottle of wine. Or the noodle shop might do something. Or it might be car washes, or it might be something from the hardware store. Or every shop
terrific.
Will do something different to support yep. them. So they have a raffle and everyone gets a ticket, and by the end of the night, half the room has got a prize.
Oh, that's terrific.
It is, because it's supporting the people that do the work.
Yep.
And it's really great to see the extent of donations that are given to the CFA. And, you know, they might be worth... you might get a bottle of wine for $30 and a couple of noodle things, you know, for another. So they might be worth $50 or $60. They might be worth $100. But it's the fact that the businesses are prepared, and this doesn't just happen in Healesville, mind you. You know, the businesses are prepared to put, the hand in their pocket to help out a service that they really believe in.
Oh, that's terrific.
It's terrific. Yeah, it really is. And the CFA were there. You know, they have somebody from the actual organisation. They have the person that supports them as well, Sue. And the local, the adjoining brigade, which was Nick from Badger Creek, was there too.
That's terrific. Now, we need to talk about the coming fire season.
We do indeed. And every year about this time, all MPs are given a briefing, which is good. We get it from the Emergency Services Commissioner. I saw him on the TV last night as well, talking about today. But we have not just the Emergency Services Commissioner, but Jason Heffernan, for example, from the CFA is also there. Alistair from the SES. We have Forest Fire Management, because they're quite big in our area. Yep. FRV. So you have a bit of everybody there talking about the coming season, and they didn't call it fire season. They called it high-risk weather season, bit of a change in names.
Yep.
But because not just fire was on the radar, but flash flooding as well and heat waves.
Yes, yep.
So the thought was, but they aren't very good at the predictions beyond 4 days at the minute. It's not kind of yep. like it's... It's an issue. It's a problem.
Yeah.
So they are thinking that the rain is going to come in shorter and sharper bursts. So instead of you get 20 mils over 2 days, you might get it in 2 hours. Often that's subject to flash flooding. And so people need to be thinking about the areas around their house where water may build up or how easily it can get away. You know, think people's driveways get washed away in times of flash flooding.
Yep.
And there was they thought because of the current sea surface temperatures that flash flooding was probably more likely to happen than not. Thunderstorm asthma.
Yeah.
And so if you're asthmatic, and people would have noticed that there was, I think Thursday last week was a bad day for asthmatics. And when we were having this briefing on the Friday and they said, oh, people might have noticed yesterday. And a whole bunch of people said, well, actually, I know somebody who was asthmatic or somebody else was complaining about their asthma was really bad on that day. So this is something that, again, it's not just about fire preparation. It's about thinking if you're asthmatic, making sure you've got everything organised, because these sorts of things can happen at different times. But also, you know, you don't want to be caught out because if there's another weather emergency. And I guess finally, what worried me, we know it's dry. That's what, you know, we talked about before, how it's dry here. And there is that rainfall deficit. Now, this briefing was a statewide briefing. And so people were from Horsham there, from Mildura, right through to Orbost. So quite a lot of people across the state. One of the things that they said, which concerned me, was about areas of elevated risk. And they mentioned King Lake.
Did they?
They mentioned Marysville. They mentioned the Yarra Ranges and Wilson's Promontory. So those areas were mentioned. Now, we've had some good rains over the last few years. So the understory of our forests is high.
Yep.
And now it's dry.
Not a good mix. Cindy, I've just got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Sure.
That was our very own Hillsville lady, Leanne Patrick, and Northbound does a terrific job. And she's got a gig coming up, I think could it be this weekend, but I'll try and suss it out and find out about it and tell you in the next hour. If you happen to be listening, Leanne, just shoot us a text and we'll mention it to you. But anyway, I'm talking to Leanne. No, not to Leanne at all. I'm talking to Cindy. That's what happens with concentrate. Sorry about that, Cindy. You want to talk
about... all right. It's interesting hearing about Leanne.
you want to talk about the SES and some work they've been doing too.
That's just following on from our last chat. One of the things that they do now, they have masterclasses. So they've previously done masterclasses in landslides, which is pretty pertinent, I think, to some of the hills in our area, so they know, you know, what needs to be done. And they've also got a storm ready campaign, and we know that in the Yarra Ranges there's been some pretty bad storms and trees down. Absolutely. And things like that, that people need to be ready for storms. And they talked about it again today, you know, batten down the hatches really does mean batten down the hatches, you know.
Yep.
Secure things that are outside. You don't want your trampoline blowing away and smashing a window or something else like that. You know, you've just got to make sure that you do have plans, storm plans, just like you have your fire plan. But also the forest fire management guys have been doing rappel training. So they've been doing training about how to get out of a helicopter.
Yeah.
So that more people know how to do that, because there's quite a big aircraft fleet too at the moment involved in firefighting in Victoria and Australia. And we've got 54 aircraft. 51 of those are owned and operated by Australian companies, because we used to have to rely on American and everyone.
Yeah, we used to get them from everywhere, didn't we? Yeah.
Yeah, everyone had one Elvis at the same time. And then America had an unseasonal fire season one year, and they needed it. You know, it was almost winter fires at the same time as we had summer fires. Yep. Coming in. So, you know, we've had to up the ante there. But it's interesting to know that the sorts of skills training that some of the professional guys and the volunteers undertake.
Yeah. You just don't realise. Well, I guess, and it's not even that. I mean, every now and again, on a Sunday morning particularly, you'll see the CFA out doing training too, don't you?
Oh, yes. And they take the trucks for a spin. They make sure everything's still working in, yep. You know, as it should be. And they've got to keep, you know, keeping that presence up, make sure that they're always on, that they, yep. It's just second nature to them. It's second, you know, what they're doing, how they're getting in safely and out of the vehicles. They don't have to make some of those decisions so much at the time. It's like, I know what to do here straight away.
And,
it's second nature.
Well, to be trained is better than sort of trying to do it on the hop, isn't it? Because you know exactly what you've got to do.
Yeah, precisely.
Now,
precisely.
I need to take one quick break, and then Cindy's going to tell us about a couple of major events, one with 150 years. You can't do better than that.
That you can.
You're listening to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, and I'm talking to Cindy McLeish. Cindy, 150 years has got to be something worthwhile celebrating.
It certainly does. And on Sunday, that was the celebration, the sesquicentenary at the Warburton Primary School. And when you've got little schools in small communities, it's a big effort to keep them going for as long as they have. And the schools in the Yarra Valley have done extraordinarily well. And Warburton had a big day on the weekend, and I couldn't be there, but I do want to give them a shout out because there's a lot of effort that goes into putting on a full day schedule, you know, yep. from the official opening. They have entertainment going, you know, on the oval and all sorts of different bits of fun and food trucks and things like that that keeps everybody there. The kids perform and Muses of the Valley, they perform. But when you look at the game, the local businesses that got behind the school, whether it's from a big business like the Woolworths at Junction or the local CFA, there's, you know, the sausage sizzles that are put on by various people. The men's shed got involved and there was face painting by somebody else. And they had, you know, the footy club even did a kids' footy program. So it's a lot of effort pulling all of these people together to support the day. And I want to congratulate Warby Primary on their 150 years. Now, Junction's not far behind them. I think last year or maybe earlier this year they did 130 years.
Gee.
But next year, Healesville will be 160.
Healesville next year?
Yeah, 160. I think Gladysdale might have also done, I'm just trying to think about how, what Gladysdale Primary did. I went there a few years ago and I think maybe they were 125 years. As well.
Gee, that's fantastic. And of course, the other thing is too, apart from what you're saying, the work they do on the day, is that they'll have been collecting memorabilia for months or a couple of years to do that too, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, Gladysdale's not as old as I thought, actually.
Right.
But, yeah, they collect, and when you put on displays around the school in the different buildings. You know, people like to go back and they go, oh, my gosh, that was me at primary school, you know,
yep.
50 years ago or 12 years ago or however many years it was. And people's like, oh, that's my mum or whatever. And it's really great to wander around while people are looking at some of those old-time photos.
Absolutely. I can't do better than that. What else would you like to talk about, Cindy?
Well, there's been a few bits and pieces going on with changes to the land use in the area.
Right.
And I did want to mention this because people may not be aware of that. I think it was at the start of last year, they had an eminent panel look into what would happen to the Central Ranges Eyre Highlands following the cessation of forestry, of the timber industry.
Yep.
And they had an eminent panel, and the eminent panel went around to different communities to find out how people use the forest and what people wanted to see. And they had a fairly short reporting time. And, of course, that got extended because I think they hit a few hurdles that they didn't realise, that hundreds and hundreds of people started turning up to these sessions where they ended up being called the post-it note session. So some people might remember that there was one at Warburton, there was one at Healesville, downtown at Junction, and you have to write on post-it notes and stick them on various various maps around the room to say, you know, what it is that you wanted to see. And I think they started off being quite political because the first one I went to was all of the green groups were there, and then other people started to wise up. And I think at Druin there was hundreds and hundreds of people, and in Alexandra the queue went up the street around the corner.
True.
And, you know. Anyway, so they've just, you know, they put out their final report and the government's response all seemed to land yesterday. And the proposal is for a lot more of the Yarra Ranges to be converted to national park. Now, this is despite the Premier going on the record to say that she's not going to create more national parks, and the Attorney General saying the same thing. So they're looking at increasing the amount of forest, turning it over to national park. Now, people go, oh, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. So there's a couple of issues. One, that the poor old park rangers cannot keep up with what they've got to do now.
Yep.
There's not enough money put aside for parks to do their jobs to the extent that they want to. And the guys on the ground are spread really thin, really thin, and it makes it really hard for them. So now they're saying they've actually even laid off staff, and now they're putting them back on, apparently. But they've also got this new category, which isn't a new category, but it was one that I wasn't so familiar with, was forest park. So they're talking about an enormous area across from Noongee to Erica to Warburton being included in forest park. So it's not state forest, it's not national park, it's something in between where there's a whole lot of restrictions as well. So people locally would have been riding their dirt bikes, maybe their horses, taking their dogs into areas. And there's the proposal now that this is all changing. So I just didn't want to alert people to the fact that, you know, they did go to the sessions, they had these sessions. The government yesterday put up the response and the actual report so people can have a good look at it. And I just urge people to please take the time and have a look, because sometimes these things get done very quietly.
Yep. All right, Cindy, I'm going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Same four walls, and all I want you to
If you like to have your paper and pencil ready straight after 2 o'clock news, I've got some things that I want to talk to you about that are coming up, particularly one coming up as early as this Sunday. So I'd love to have you along after 2 o'clock news, but if you have a paper and pencil there, you'll be able to take it down and you may be able to attend some of these events. But, Cindy, you want to talk about Link, I think.
I was going to talk about Link Yarra Valley. I did go to their AGM. I was unable to get Hickey's, go to Hickey's in Healesville. Yep. So Link are more in the upper Yarra, Hickey are around Healesville. But they do some great work supporting community members in need.
Yep.
And I've just got to give them a shout out. This week, or this month, sorry, is Seniors Month, October. And a lot of the people, not always, but a lot of the people in need are older people who now can no longer drive or can't get around, or their, you know, eyesight's not as good as it has been, their mobility's not as good as it has been. And so we have the organisations that are there to support people, to help them in a variety of different ways, including, emergency food and things like that. And it's just a bit scary how many people are, relying on their services. And I know Hickey, you know, they'll have people take you to medical appointments and things like that. So I just wanted people to be mindful, if you're looking ways to be involved with some great organisations, they're two terrific organisations that really get out and make a difference.
And I mentioned this. No doubt always looking for more volunteers too.
Everyone's always looking for more volunteers. Always. And with Seniors Week, the council will have activities, and there's the Council of the Aging. You know, they have activities for Seniors Weeks. They'll often have lunches to bring people together to get everybody out. They'll put on something for free. And it's just trying to bring a bit of attention to people, awareness, I guess, to the seniors in the community. And aging and what happens to us as we get older.
Yep. Sounds terrific.
Yeah. And on top of that, last week was Carers Week, and we had a whole lot of carers come into Parliament and talk to us about what they do and how many people are involved in caring roles. So there's 700,000 unpaid carers in Victoria.
700,000?
Yep. Some reckon it's more. Some say that there'll even be a million by the end of 2025. And carers, anyone can be a carer. And often you end up in a carer if something has happened in your family, something that's not been great, whether it's a child that has a particular disability or becomes disabled. It can be a young adult that can become disabled.
Cindy, one of the groups that I've got an enormous amount of time, which doesn't get a much of a publicity, is the child that becomes a carer for mum and dad, and they often have to miss school and all sorts of things.
Oh, yeah, because we think as we get older, you know, in your 40s, 50s or whatever, you might be looking after parents, but sometimes it's the young, you know, the 17-year-old that has to do that, and there's too many instances where that happens, and it's just, yeah, it's terribly sad. 9% of carers are under 25. That's so terrible. When you look at 700,000, you know, 9% is pretty well bad when you look at it, 70, you know.
Yeah.
And 700,000, 70,000.
And they miss school, they don't get to play with their friends after school because very often they're not at school. Very often they're off taking mum or dad to to medical appointments. It's terrible.
That's right. And that's what people remember. And I know when Brian Dixon, who was the former Minister for Sport, Norm Lifeby in it, when he died, and when I was talking to his family, one of his strong memories was his dad was hit with a paralysis, and they think now it was MND, and he had to wheel his dad around,
yeah,
you know, in the wheelchair. And that's what one of the things he remembers as being a young, you know, kid at school.
Yep.
That's what he had to do because dad was disabled now.
Cindy, I've got to go. The news has turned up. Thank you for your time.
No worries.